Packers fans, stay up to date on all of your Packers news this season via our newsletter. You can sign up for the PackersNews.com and more Journal Sentinel newsletters by clicking on the link in the brief field of this video. Packers fans, welcome into the Green 19 podcast from JS Online and PackersNews.com. I'm Cassidy Hill, joined as always by Tom Silverstein and Ryan Wood. This week we are not in our Lambeau Field office. Well, I am. I'm the only good worker here. I'm the only one at work. No, I'm just kidding. We're kind of spaced a little bit around as we dive into our first game weekend. But as I said, we're going into the week one game weekend. Packers heading down to Chicago to take on the Bears in the NFL's oldest rivalry. The next chapter will get written, and a new chapter for really both teams. A lot of unknowns about both of these teams. But guys, before we kind of dive into this matchup, let's just hear from both of you. Welcome in. And Spoon, are you excited? It's finally game week.
I'm never excited.
You're never excited about anything. What gets you excited? Like, is it like, I don't know, a new book?
A day off, maybe? Or, you know,
like to see the grandkids? Like, what makes you, what actually?
Vacation.
Vacation. Ryan, what about you? Are you excited it's game week?
I'm more curious than excited, you know? I am very curious. I'm looking forward to figuring out the questions that have been kind of hanging over our head all offseason, the questions we've been asking, talking about right here on the podcast all offseason. And we don't really know. Like, there's so much. It's such a weird season. Every other year I've been on the beat since 2014, feel like you kind of have an idea of what's going to happen. Even 2015, when Jordy Nelson goes down with the ACL midway through preseason, you're kind of, well, okay, they brought in James Jones, they're going to try to patchwork this together. I have no idea what's going to happen this season, and it's going to be really fascinating to find out. So I am very curious, but yeah, excited for the ride along the way with you good people.
Good answer. Spoon, let's get in the Wayback Machine. I know when it was Brett Favre's first year as a starter, like there wasn't much before him to really kind of leave behind, so to speak. But when in that 2008 year where it was switching over to Aaron Rodgers, was there trepidation, excitement amongst the fan base in the Packers organization from what you can remember? Was there sadness? Like, what was that first week starting week one with Aaron Rodgers like?
Well, that was a long time ago. I don't really remember it being a huge deal that they were playing the Bears because it sort of happened in the middle of the season, like in November. Going into the year, it was a little contentious because of the fan base being so split between Favre and Rodgers. And I think, again, it was, you know, what has this guy got? And nobody knew. And I think that's what's similar to what we have here. When Favre was starting out, nobody knew what they had. They just knew that he was an exciting guy to watch and extremely unpredictable. And the Bears were a better team back then than they were when Rodgers faced them. So it was kind of a different animal between those two, but it was interesting, you know, Favre, after he played the Bears, their season went upward. You know, they got crushed by the Bears and then they kind of took off right after that. Rodgers crushed the Bears and then their season went to, you know, pot. They lost like five straight games. So, you know, these games can have a little bit of meaning that way. And we'll see what Love does. And then I guess the curious part I have is what happens after? So let's see how the game comes out and then what happens after.
With that in mind, and a little bit of a programming note here, Christian Watson has not practiced Wednesday or Thursday. We are filming this or recording this early Friday morning, so we'll still wait to see. He's going to practice Friday afternoon. Matt LaFleur said, you know, basically we're just going to get to the game and see what's going on. Romeo Doubs did not practice Wednesday, both Watson and Doubs with a hamstring, but Doubs was at practice on Thursday. He was a limited participant, took part in some team reps, but not all. As we've talked before, if you're Jordan Love, I almost think, especially your first time out there as full-time starter other than that Kansas City game, I almost think you want Romeo Doubs there more than Christian Watson if you're Jordan Love, just because Doubs is his security blanket. So with that in mind, Ryan, what is a reasonable expectation for week one of this Jordan Love era?
I don't know what a reasonable expectation is for the entire season. So I think this is a winnable game. And there's some games coming up later in the season that look like real juggernauts. So, you know, I on a whole, I think that Jordan Love and this season is going to be evaluated on purely win total. This is a developmental year. So much like 2008 with Aaron Rodgers, the Packers went 6-10. And they had a feeling that Aaron Rodgers was the guy based on the film, based on what he put on the field. I think that that's going to, but that doesn't mean that you don't want to win your winnable games. You still want to win all the games you can. And this is a winnable game. So going into Chicago against a Bears defense that is revamped, but still has a lot of questions. Can he move the offense and generate some points and mitigate the bad plays and while making some plays? It's nothing, no different than any other quarterback and any other start. But this is going to be a real test for him in a road environment to start things off. To your point, Cassidy, I agree with you that and that's not to take anything away from Christian Watson. He is the most talented player on this Packers offense. And over the long haul of the season, for them to reach their ceiling as an offense, it has to be through Christian Watson. His deep vertical ability, his game-breaking speed is essential to this offense. He's the big play guy. But Romeo Doubs is that security blanket. So having him for that first start, I think, is very important. And it looks like he's on the right trajectory for that. So that's good news for not just the offense, but Jordan Love.
Spoon, are wins a quarterback stat?
Are what?
Are wins a quarterback stat?
Yeah, I think so. Absolutely.
I just know that's always a fun debate. Ryan, I feel like you and I got into a long conversation about that on a Facebook Live not long ago. Are wins a quarterback stat?
What's your stance? I know that Aaron Nagler and I have been going back and forth for years on that topic. What's your stance on our if they're a QB stat?
Yes.
Yeah.
I think that, and that's not they to say that, like a quarterback, I think a team can also lose in spite of a quarterback, but that's, yes, they're definitely a quarterback stat.
Well, I think at the end of the day, just real quickly, I think at the end of the day, the team whose quarterback plays better usually wins the game. And there's other elements to that. Like, can your defense force their quarterback to play worse than yours? You know, it's not like it's only the quarterback when you say that, but the team with the better quarterback on that given day is usually going to win. That's usually how it plays out.
Yeah. So that in mind, Spoon, you predicted the first play last year. If you're the Packers, do you come out letting Jordan Love sling it, especially if you don't have Christian Watson, or do you let him kind of like, you know, run a, like have a few run plays, a couple of like, you know, little 6-yard slants just to get him in the groove? Like, what's the mental approach if you're the Packers?
I've been thinking about this because I'm under so much pressure to predict again what their first play would be.
Heavy is the head.
I'm excited for this.
I have this feeling that they may start the game out with A.J. Dillon instead of Aaron Jones and just pound the ball 6 straight times. You know, just try to establish the run right away. And try to be more physical than the Bears. I just, my gut tells me that's what LaFleur wants to do. That's what he wants this season to be, they're a physical, smack you in the mouth kind of a team, as opposed to being, you know, more guided around, you know, the brains of Aaron Rodgers and, you know, the overthinking of Aaron Rodgers, and being a team that can kind of dictate the pace of the game and the physicalness of the game. And I think he's got the ability to do that, especially if he can get David Bakhtiari back in the lineup. And to me, that's far more important than having Christian Watson or Romeo Dobbs or anybody else, because if he can protect and has all day, there's nobody who can defend all day. And so to me, that's like the most important guy that they got to have in the lineup.
We're going to get into David Bakhtiari. And oh, go ahead, Ryan.
To Spoon's point, I think one of the biggest questions of this season offensively is whether or not this is the year that Matt LaFleur is going to just throw all caution to the wind on the usage of Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon early in the season. We talk about it every single year with how much those guys are used. And you look at this offense, the engine of this offense, especially because a young quarterback's best friend is a good, sound running game, the engine of this offense is those two running backs. And it was really no different than last year. Last year, with all that youth that they had at receiver, the engine of this offense had to be the running game. And week after week, you'd look at the box score and say, wow, they should have used those guys more. This season, Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon might be going into the final year that they'll be with the Packers. You know, A.J. Dillon's in the last year of his rookie contract. Aaron Jones, they save $12 million if he's not back on the team next year against the cap. So if that's the case, and the best friend of a young quarterback is your running game, I do wonder if this is the year that from week one they just say, pound those guys against the defense and use them ad nauseum over and over again, week after week, or if there's going to be some building up to that. I think that's a real big question to this offense.
As we get more into the offensive line in a little bit, I want to do that. But Spoon, you were talking about, like, that's what Matt LaFleur wants the identity of this team to be. Do you think that's just his way of saying, and you made the point about it not being built around Aaron Rodgers' brain trust. Is that his way of coming out and just saying right away, like, we can be more than just Aaron Rodgers? And also to that point, this team, no offense, has gotten hit in the mouth in the past and crumbled. And is, you know, we've saw it with the up downs after practice and training camp, the reaction in the locker room after that day with seven fights where they were almost proud of it. Do you think that they're going to try to just change that identity that quick? Like, I guess elaborate on what you were saying about, like, that's who Matt LaFleur wants this team to be. Is that what they need this team to be to show that they can be something different than an Aaron Rodgers led team and that they can be a strong smash mouth team?
Well, they have to, you have to play to what your talent is and who you have on the field. And what they have is pretty strong offensive line when everyone's healthy. And they have a lot of speed and aggressive players on defense that need to be used in a certain way so that their aggressiveness, you know, comes through. I kind of think the Packers have been somewhat of a finesse team the past, really the whole time LaFleur's been here. They have not been the kind of team that pounds the ball down your throat consistently or, you know, turns the ball, you know, causes fumbles and huge number of sacks. And I think they have the potential to do that. I just think if you're going to run Matt LaFleur's system, you got to run the ball. And you know, this is sort of a message game for them, because they're playing a Bears team that considers itself very physical, considers itself pretty good against the run. And I don't think you want to have Jordan Love come out and throw 20 times out of the first 25 plays. I think you want to establish the run, and you want to keep pounding it until all this play action starts to open up and you take some pressure off of Love, get him warmed up. That's what I think the real strategy in doing it. I mean, there'll be games where they come out throwing, but I think this one is where they need to come out and just, you know, show that they can run the ball whenever they want, no matter what Chicago does defensively.
As you said, that's kind of what Chicago wants their identity to be too. I don't know if y'all watched that Thursday night game last night, but that's definitely, at least through week one, what it seems like this Detroit Lions team is too. So if you want to make it out of the NFC North relatively unscathed this year, you're going to have to be a tough, smash-mouth, downhill team and aggressive. Gosh, that Detroit defense was aggressive last night, which granted, the Chiefs didn't have Travis Kelce, but still, little side note there. But yeah, that's what you're going to have to be if you want to make it out of the NFC North this year. Let's focus a little bit more on the offensive line. David Bakhtiari didn't practice Wednesday or Thursday. We'll see if he's out there on Friday. He said yesterday some practice is important, but not everyone needs to practice. I understand that when you're a veteran and you know the system, that if you know your body, you don't have to practice as much. But Ryan, is there anything to his statement that you don't have to practice at all before a game? And I understand, like, okay, let's say he's on a limited number of snaps available to him this year. You'd rather those snaps be in a game than in practice. But is there something to just, you know, at least warming your body up during the week?
Well, in a lot of ways, we're about to find out Sunday, because this is as limited as we've ever seen a starter be before week one and come out and play the number of snaps that a left tackle plays in a game. I'm leaning toward he's probably right, because we have seen David Bakhtiari not practice much at all and come out and play really well. He didn't practice much last year. It wasn't quite this little, but it was little. He didn't practice a whole lot. He played pretty well. The bigger question that I have, and this comes from, you know, I haven't really covered a new starting quarterback coming in and designing an entire offense around that guy, because Aaron Rodgers has been that guy for 15 years here, is, you know, we talk about the reps that receivers need with quarterbacks, the chemistry, the timing. It's, you know, on one level, offensive linemen are taught to block and pass protection to infinity for anyone, no matter who the quarterback is. On the other side, every quarterback's a little bit different from their launching points, the spots on the field that they like to get to before they throw the football. And David Bakhtiari does not – he's got a ton of snaps banked up over the course of his career against outside linebackers, defensive ends, edge rushers. But he doesn't have a lot of snaps banked up with Jordan Love. So the thing I'm wondering is how much you need to get on the same page with the new quarterback if you got his blind side like David Bakhtiari, and how much it's just block the guy in front of you no matter who the quarterback is behind you. I think that'll be interesting to see. But David Bakhtiari has shown that he doesn't need to practice a lot to play very well on Sunday. And the Packers are banking on that being the case for this season.
What about you, Spoon? You think a left tackle can walk into a game on Sunday without practicing? And what did we figure out was the last time he practiced? Like the August 23rd or something?
No, August 30.
August 30, okay.
No, I don't think you can not practice. Now, I think offensive coordinator Adam Stanovich made the point that we don't see a lot of the things that Bakhtiari is doing when they're not practicing, when they're inside. And I don't know how much of that is working on his pass sets, you know, how much he could put on his knee in those situations if he's working on his fundamentals. If that's the case, then I think he can do it. You know, I was under the impression that they're just laying off his knee and getting it in a position where it's the best it'll be going into this game. And that may very well be what they're doing. And if it is, then, yeah, there's going to be some rust. He's not going to come out there and be a all-pro right from the start. But I think he can have enough confidence that he's not going to just give up four sacks because he hasn't practiced. I think he just probably won't be as sharp as he would be. I don't see how you can be without having pads and a helmet on once in a while. And so I don't think it's the end of the world that he's not practicing, but I wouldn't expect him to be at his best either.
Yeah. And as you, Ryan, as you said, we'll find out on Sunday exactly what it's going to look like. While we're in this offensive line conversation, I want to look, this is not necessarily have to do just with this game. This is more longer term, big picture. Adam Stinovich had a comment yesterday about Yosh Nijman. We kind of joked the temperature dropped 10 degrees in the room when he said it. He was asked about Yosh Nijman, you know, starting off camp or starting off the offseason competing with Zach Tom for that right spot, and how it's now essentially just Zach Tom's. And there was not the near as much competition there as we thought there would be. And he said, football is a competitive sport. Some people rise to that occasion. Some people don't. And that's all I'm going to say about that. Is that all she wrote on Yosh Nijman with the Green Bay Packers, guys?
Probably. I wouldn't be surprised if they're holding on to him until they can find a trade partner. Now, I wouldn't trash him publicly like that if I was trying to trade him. But, you know, they're clearly frustrated with him and we're expecting a lot more out of him. And maybe they're just trying to jab him and get him, you know, he's kind of a laid back guy, and maybe they're just trying to, you know, jolt him a little bit. But, you know, he's a non-factor. You know, we probably even shouldn't be talking about him because I don't think he's going to play much, and he could be inactive as far as we know. You know, I mean, maybe not this week, but eventually, you know, Luke Tenuta is going to come back and he's going to be ahead of Yosh Nijman. So he's a total non-factor the way I look at it.
I still wonder if, certainly not early in the season, but at some point, as attrition takes a toll on the offensive line, as it's known to do during the course of the season, if Yosh Nijman is someone that the Packers are going to need to count on, from a depth perspective, it's not the worst thing in the world to have a backup tackle that's logged the number of starts and snaps that he has. So to your point, Spook, maybe that was a little prodding, trying to spark a fire under his butt. But it reminded me a lot of Adam Stinovich's candidness after the 2021 NFC Divisional game when Yosh Nijman was not on the field. He was benched. And he said that it essentially amounted to a lack of toughness that they need at right tackle, that Yosh Nijman just didn't show that. And here we are almost 2 years later, and it's essentially the same thing. It has to me, just watching the course of camp, it had to have been something that wasn't even on the practice field that they saw, because Yosh Nijman really never got an opportunity from the first week of camp to compete for that starting right tackle job. It was Zach Tom the entire time. Yosh Nijman started camp getting more left tackle reps, which just kind of took him out of the running at right tackle. He didn't get a lot of right tackle reps until the midpoint of camp, where he got some more because Rashid Walker had passed him at left tackle. But there was something that they saw that they didn't really facilitate much of a competition for him against Zach Tom at right tackle, and that never really changed. So, you know, when I heard that, I went back to the 2021 NFC Divisional game against the 49ers and Yosh Nijman surprisingly not being on the field, and nothing's really changed over the course of that time.
Spoon, as you said, though, he's going to probably be a non-factor, so why are we even talking about him? Good conversation, though, guys. Let's move on to our next topic. Let's look at the defense. Joe Barry was asked on Thursday about playing much more aggressive because that's something his players have said all offseason they want to do. Do you think that's what you see on the field on Sunday, Ryan?
That's what they want to do. You know, a big question coming into this game is how much does playing their starters in the preseason all 3 weeks facilitate a better, more juice for week one? Because this team has completely lacked it the last 2 years. Their combined margin of loss in their last two openers is 51 points, 38-3 2 years ago against the Saints. And then that team went on to be pretty good. And then 23-7 last year against the Vikings, and that was very indicative of this, that team was not very good. Again, this is a winnable game. So the starters on offense especially were always going to be playing preseason snaps because when you have your starting quarterback out there, you got to protect them. That means having your starting offensive line mostly out there for Jordan Love. It means having the receivers he's going to work with out there to work on the timing during live snaps with Jordan Love. But they played, you know, Rasul Douglas had more than 10 snaps over the course of the preseason. Preston Smith had more than 10 snaps. Some of their younger starters like Quay Walker, Darnell Savage, that they played a little bit more. It wasn't just for Jordan Love. It was trying to get this team off and running from week one, something they didn't do the last 2 years. I don't know if it'll work. Matt LaFleur seems to think that it has helped. Just kind of taking the temperature of where his team is right now from a year ago this time. But that's going to be another big question coming in Sunday is whether or not they're up to regular season assertiveness, aggressiveness, have that juice week one or not.
Spoon, I'm going to throw a couple of numbers at you here. Last year, Justin Fields had – I think it was 67 yards. 71. I cannot read my own handwriting. Justin Fields had 71 rushing yards against the Packers, 6 rushes. He also, though, had a long of 55. You take away that one, and I remember it. You remember that long run he had? If you take away that 55-yard rush, he had 16 yards on 5 rushes, which averages 3.2 yards a rush. Is there a game plan in place that the Packers, that this Packers defense, this iteration of the Packers defense can execute that can feasibly stop Justin Fields, who had over 1,000 yards rushing last season?
Yeah, I mean, you look at the first game they played, he had 8 rushes for 20 yards. Mm-hmm. And they destroyed Chicago's offensive line, and that's how you do it. I mean, Rashawn Gary was extremely active in the first game. Preston Smith had a really good game. They won at the line of scrimmage, and that's what kept Justin Fields in check. I mean, I think he completed like 7 of 11 passes or something like that. Mm-hmm. You know, different, be a little bit of a different offense, but I think that's the way you stop them is you just get after them. You gotta play it like, you know, Joe Barry sort of, you know, made reference to this, that you can't just stop rushing him. You can't not put pressure on him. You have to continually put pressure on him. You just have to have guys not do stupid things like, you know, give up covering a guy deep because you see him possibly taking off because he's going to still try to throw it when he can. And so you have to just be disciplined. And if he gets some rushing yards, you know, you have to line up and get back after him after that again. He's going to get some running yards, but you just got to keep him from making really big plays down the field. He's got a really good arm. He's a good throwing quarterback. And I mean, the thing I'd be most worried about is guys dropping their coverage and all of a sudden he's throwing it over their head.
Mm-hmm. Ryan, if he does, like I Spoon said, he's going to have some rushes. If he does get to the, second level, third level, I don't think we still even necessarily know who's going to be starting next to Darnell Savage. If I had to put money on it right now, I'd say Rudy Ford. But Jonathan Owens came in as the second safety in the league last year, leading in tackles from that position. Again, that's because he was behind a bad defensive line who was letting those rushes get to him. But if nothing else, on tape, he has shown he can do that. Do you put Owens out there next to Darnell Savage just at least for this week to contain Justin Fields possibly in that level?
I don't know that Jonathan Owens has the hip flexibility, the fluidity to match well with Justin Fields. So, if it's a ground and pound type game, then there's something to that. His tackling ability against the run, Justin Fields is a different creature. And really, the key to stopping Justin Fields with his legs is to not let him get to the second level. You talk a lot of all the time about the difference in kind of hair on fire, get after the quarterback type rush and a contain rush. I think you see a lot of contain rush. You do not want him breaking the pocket. You do not want to open up those escape valves downfield for Justin Fields. You want to contain him. You want to the kind of swarm him and collapse the pocket on top of him. That's the way that you keep Justin Fields from beating you with his legs. Because once he gets to the second level, a lot of times it's too late. And that's, I think it might have been Keyshawn Nixon, if I'm remembering right, but they had a chance for it on that long run, that touchdown run that Justin Fields had in Chicago last year. They had a chance to tackle him in the backfield. They missed. He got to the second level and he's gone. And that's how he operates. So the key is not to allow him to get into the open field and then turn on that speed. And if he does, I don't know that the Packers have anyone that's well equipped in the back end of their defense to be that safety net.
Some business decisions will get made, is what you're saying. Have y'all seen the new NFL like leaning into the script commercial? And there's a scene with Justin Fields, and he's like, "What if we replace my legs with wheels?" It feels like that at times with him. There's so much more we can talk about here just on defense, especially knowing that actually there is one more topic I want to talk about on defense. Rashawn Gary, Joe Barry has said will be on a pitch count Sunday. He was asked how many that will be, and he said tune in Sunday. If you had to guess, Spoon, if you're a betting man, what do you think Rashawn Gary's pitch count is on Sunday versus Chicago Bears, his first week back?
I don't think it'll be too low. I bet it would be 40 to 50 snaps. That would be my guess. I don't see why I don't know if they're maybe like throwing that out there. But a pitch count could mean 50 snaps. It doesn't have to mean like 20. I think the guy's been practicing long enough. I think he's in phenomenal shape. I don't think there's any reason to think that he can't play 40 to 50 snaps. I don't think it's going to be that noticeable. I think, there'll be series he'll take off. They'll bring in Enik Bari or Justin Hollins. But, they do that anyways. I expect him to play quite a bit.
40 to 50 snaps, that could be the whole game.
Yeah, I mean, snaps can go from, they can go from 50 to 70. You can be up to 70 some snaps on defense. So I would say, I expect him to take a pretty close to his regular number. That's my expectation.
Ryan, do you think you're getting the same Rashawn Gary if you're the Packers that you did last year before his injury?
No, I think that's going to take some time. I think it takes time for anyone. Elton Jenkins was not Elton Jenkins. Now, some of that was because Elton Jenkins was playing right tackle early last season, but he wasn't Elton Jenkins for a few weeks. That's pretty standard. But the way I look at it, and it might be 40, 50 snaps. I don't know really what they mean. That's another thing that we're going to find out Sunday. But I kind of see it as more situational than anything. Kingsley Enagbare can set an edge. He's a solid run defender. Preston Smith is a solid run defender. So I would think that those two might be your edge guys in run downs, clear running downs, and any passing situation, Rashawn Gary's on the field and getting after the quarterback and, you know, kind of preserving him for those moments. I don't know what the snap count ends up if that's the way they go. There could be a lot of pass, you know, pass rush situations throughout the course of a game. But for the first week or two, limiting him in clear running downs and keeping him fresh for pass rush situations, if I had to guess, that I think that might be the way they go.
Before we wrap up here, one more topic I want to discuss. Rich Bisaccia touched on this on Thursday about how he's taken a rookie kicker and a rookie punter into Chicago for their first game NFL action. And that's a windy, tough place to kick. But he made the point, so is Lambeau. That being said, is it reasonable to expect some growing pains with both of these guys as they kind of figure out these stadiums, specifically Lambeau and Soldier Field, Spoon?
Yeah, absolutely. I would expect some issues, and it might not be in this game, but it's going to happen. They're going to run into some situations that are difficult to deal with, and they're not experienced guys who can shake things off. You know, I think one of the things that Bisaccia talked about, which I've sort of wondered with Whelan the whole time, is, you know, he's so tall and long and has to put the ball out pretty far. You know, the wind can affect your drop, and certain guys know how to really deal with that. When the ball moves when the wind moves the ball a little bit as he's dropping it out of his hands, you got to know how to adjust and how to adjust your drop. And those are all things Whelan's probably dealt with and thinks he knows how to deal with, but it's going to be different in every stadium. And I think that's pretty much what the kind of things that they're going to have to know. And, you know, Mason Crosby went into every stadium and he knew a little bit about that stadium. He had muscle memory about, you know, where he needed to put the ball because he had kicked there before. And these guys haven't. So I think that is going to be something to watch as the season goes on, and could be a big factor Sunday too.
Mm-hmm. And then on the flip side of that, he said Keyshawn Nixon has been told repeatedly to take account of the new fair catch rule. Keyshawn Nixon does not know what a fair catch is. He has said those words before. The fair catch rule this year says, and correct me if I'm wrong, if it's kicked behind the 20, it comes to the 20.
Is that 25?
So if you fair catch it behind the 25, the ball comes to the 25. That could make a difference, you know, where an offense starts, especially for Jordan Love. So we'll see if Keyshawn Nixon takes that warning to heed.
Well, he better on, like Bisaccia said, he better when, you know, if there's 30 seconds left in the half, and they want to get a 2-minute drill going, you know, and the Bears pop the ball up, you know, they may tell him, you got to fair catch this because we're working on the clock. You know, we're trying to save the clock, or maybe it's 16 seconds left. I don't know. Probably more in that type of situation. He's got to know that rule and make a good decision. So, I thought Bisaccia was funny when he was asked about that. He said he better do it.
And if he's not, if he does it, he won't be out there.
Exactly.
Be like, Jaden Reed can go back there and fair catch it. Anyways, I know our predictions will be in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel and Green Bay Press Gazette this weekend. So don't give me a score, but just your 10-word prediction on this game, Spoon.
I think the Packers will win at the line of scrimmage on defense, and I think they'll be able to keep Chicago's offense in check. I don't know what the Packers will do on offense. I have no idea. I think Again, I think they'll try to run the ball. I think it'll be a low-scoring game. But I think it'll come down to how well the Packers' defensive front plays against the Bears' offensive line. And if I were a betting person, I would put my money on the Packers' front seven.
Ryan?
I think this is a much bigger game for the Bears as a franchise than the Packers. It's a long haul for the Packers. And if you're the Bears, you want to talk about deflating. You're suddenly – Aaron Rodgers is gone. Brett Favre's not here. 30 years of Hall of Fame quarterback play. Here comes Jordan Love. I think from their perspective, they feel like this is an opportunity to turn the tide of the last three decades. And if Jordan Love comes in there and wins – and right when you're thinking things are going to change, no, everything's still the same. That's awfully deflating for a franchise and a fan base and a whole city. So I'm curious if the Bears play tight, especially at home. But I'm expecting the Packers to win a low scoring game.
Mm-hmm. Bears are favored, what, 2.5, and you get 3 for playing at home, yeah. Something like that. So yeah, I definitely think it'll be low scoring as well. Just my final 30 seconds, I want to throw this out there. I've been getting text messages while we're doing this. Apparently, I have a niece coming today. She's coming a little early. She's ready to get into the world. She wants to get born. She wants to be born in time to watch the Packers and the Bears on Sunday.
That's awesome. So very
excited to meet you, little Ellis. She should be here soon. Guys, thanks so much as always. We'll see you Sunday in Chicago, right? Spoon, be ready. Picking you up at 10:30. I want you on the sidewalk ready to go at 10:30. He's between the two of us, one of us will be late. Guys, we'll see you on Sunday. Thanks so much as always. This has been the Green 19 podcast from JS Online and PackersNews.com.